听力课堂，听 class.com。
Step by step, 2000, book 4.
Unit 11, extending life through fun. 1. Part 1, warming up. A. You are going to hear some advertisements for entertainment. Supply the missing words while listening.
This is Superstar Love Hits, the album. 16 perfect love songs with Savage Garden. Ricky Martin. Mariah Carey. This is Superstar Love Hits. Celine Dion. Michael Bolton. Michael Jackson.
And even future enemies.If the innocence of youth touches your heart, if the child in you wants to come out and play, this film is for you. Satisfaction guaranteed. Tender Times is filmed and narrated by Marty Stauffer, creator of the popular TV series Wild America. For 25 years, Marty has brought America's rich natural heritage to the screen as no one else can. Order now, and you'll also receive The Beauty of Butterflies, absolutely free.
If the innocence of youth touches your heart, if the child in you wants to come out and play, call 1-833-3322 now. Tender Times with The Beauty of Butterflies can be enjoyed by the entire family. Both can be yours for only $293.
Now available around the world from Interwood.
Macau is waiting just for you. There is just so much to do. Magic day,
magic place,
magic night,
magic moments
occur. It's just for you. Macau, it's just for you.
Celebrating the moment of creation. The new Macau Cultural Center, opening March 19.
B. In this section, you're going to hear someone tuning in a radio across 5 radio stations at a given time. Below is an extract from a program guide for the 5 radio stations. Listen carefully and identify which station is broadcasting which program. Write the numbers in the proper brackets in the order you hear them.
And we have a caller on line two now, Mr. Jackson from Bolton, who I believe wants to talk to Norman about setting up a dark room. Are you there, Mr. Jackson?
Yes. Well, actually, it's about colour developing at home, really.
So, there we are. Our 4 contestants are ready and waiting, here in the studio, to pit their wits against each other and the mighty Oxford English Dictionary. And one of them will be going through, after today's round, to do battle in the first semi-final in 3 weeks' time.
And after about 20 minutes, on a medium heat at the bottom of your oven, it should come out with the cheese nicely melted and browned over those slices of egg on the top. Next week...I'll be giving you some tips about freezing your summer fruit for the winter. So I hope you can join me. Until then, goodbye.
We've got a high of 9 degrees Celsius, 48 degrees Fahrenheit, with rain closing in from the west, and that should be covering all of our area by lunchtime. So if you're out this morning, you'd better take an umbrella with you.
O'Keefe played a brilliant match. He headed a corner from Rayner just 2 minutes before the final whistle, which bounced off the post and had the United goalkeeper Stevenson in a bit of a panic for a few moments before the new boy, David Briggs, came through like lightning to clear the ball out of the area. United 2, Villa 1.
C. Read the following difficult sentences and listen.
She's appealing on so many levels, you can't deduce it to simply spirit. She's an incredibly intriguing person to examine, and then has so many great qualities that, as an actor, make it easy and interesting to play her.
Many instruments actually play using air. So we have the air available to us automatically. So it's just a simple step to making a trigger valve, which triggers the pneumatics to play and strum the guitar, or play the flute, or harmonica, or harp, or whatever.
But he's also a lifetime skeptic who began to collect these bizarre machines so that he could expose the trickery of quacks, fake healers, and con men and women. Bob McKay points out that the current information age of computers and hundreds of television channels has only multiplied fraudulent schemes that target desperately sick people.
Part 2.
Movies and Music. A. 1. You are going to hear a report about a very successful Hollywood film, Aaron Brockovich. Listen carefully. Match column A with column B. 2. Listen again. Complete the following summary about Aaron Brockovich.
Julia Roberts is earning raves from critics for her new drama based on the true story of the woman who fought a corporation that poisoned a California town's water.
You're a lawyer?
Hell no. I hate lawyers.
Aaron Brockovich is brassy, bold, and outspoken, but this twice-divorced single mom desperately needs a job, and she talks her way into getting hired by attorney Ed Masry, who had represented her in an unsuccessful auto accident lawsuit.
There's two things that aggravate me, Mr. Masry. Being ignored and being lied to.
I never lied.
You told me things would be fine. They're not. I trusted you.
I'm sorry about that.
I don't need pity. I need a paycheck.
As bold as she acts and speaks, Erin dresses even bolder in tight, short skirts and revealing outfits.
Now that you're working here, you may want to rethink your wardrobe a little.
Well, it just so happens, I think I look nice. Mm-hmm. You might want to rethink those ties.
But when her research reveals an industrial pollution cover-up in a small desert town, she becomes a tenacious advocate for the affected families.
$20 million is more money than these people have ever dreamed of.
These people don't dream about being rich. They dream about being able to watch their kids swim in a pool without worrying that they'll have to have a hysterectomy at the age of 20.
She's appealing on so many levels, you can't deduce it to simply spirit.
Julia Roberts says Aaron Brockovich is especially interesting to portray because she's a real person.
She's an incredibly intriguing person to examine, and then has so many great qualities that, as an actor, make it easy and interesting to play her.
You're emotional. You're erratic. You make this personal, and it isn't.
That is my work, my sweat, my time away from my kids. If that's not personal, I don't know what is.
She could have been a very quiet, you know, well, this doesn't seem right. I don't know about this. And that's okay to play, but it's more fun to go, what is this all about? This doesn't make any sense. You know, I mean, that's just more interesting. The energy with which she approaches her life is really appealing as an actor.
Director Steven Soderbergh got so involved with the real story that he shot parts of the film on location in the now nearly deserted town of Hinckley, California, where the real pollution case was fought in the early 1990s.
And what the hell do you know about any of this anyway? Huh? Something like this, and it could take forever. They're a huge corporation. They could bury us in paperwork for the next 15 years. I'm just a guy with a small private firm.
Who happens to know they poisoned people and lied about it.
English actor Albert Finney co-stars as lawyer Ed Masry, but Roberts, as the title character, is in almost every scene of Aaron Brockovich. Still, she'd rather not hear it described as a Julia Roberts movie.
It's a great part and a really great story, and it's the infinitely worshipable Steven Soderbergh, and it's Albert Finney, and it's, you know, it's a lot of things.
You gotta find a different job or a different guy.
For the first time in my life, I got people respecting me. Please, don't ask me to give it up.
Erin Brockovich is produced by Danny DeVito's Jersey Films and is jointly released by Universal in North America and Columbia Pictures internationally.
I've been swimming in a sea of anarchy. I've been living on coffee and nicotine. I've been wondering if all the things...
And computers.
California manufacturer Ken Calkins combines 19th century technology with modern computers to produce music that sounds like this. Mr. Calkins uses actual musical instruments in the automated orchestras he builds. The sound they make is produced by air pressure, which he calls pneumatics, controlled by a computer.
You can't ignore the fact that flutes play with air pressure. Accordions play with air pressure or vacuum. Many instruments actually play using air. So we have the air available to us automatically. So it's just a simple step to making a trigger valve, which triggers the pneumatics to play and strum the guitar or play the flute or harmonica or harp or whatever.
Ken Calkins, whose factory is in the central California town of Ceres, has a catalog of products ranging from a $90 train whistle to an automated orchestra with a price tag of $123,000. This device, known as a Gazebo Americana, consists of a bandstand with two pianos, two accordions, four steel drums, whistles, and other instruments. The 47-year-old Calkins insists that his automated orchestras project a sound superior to other audio delivery systems.
The advantage to using my system is the closest thing to live music. Immediately, you know it's not recorded. Even if it's amplified and projected into an audience with a very large presentation, say covering a half a block for one of these large casinos, you know immediately that you're hearing live music. You can recognize, your ears actually can recognize the waveforms, as opposed to when it's laid down on a piece of tape or CD, there is a change in the waveform. It doesn't come out exactly the same.
In this next instrumental section of Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical, The Phantom of the Opera, judge for yourself if Mr. Calkins' automated orchestra possesses that mysterious property called live, a quality difficult to either discern or describe. Ken Calkins was 16 years old when he saw his first automated instrument, a player piano. Young Calkins was fascinated by player pianos, and by age 19, he had started a business restoring and building them. In the nearly three decades since, he and his workers have made and sold nearly 8,000 such instruments. 3 years ago, he added computers to the Airstream technology of the player piano and other instruments, allowing him to produce automated orchestras. Ken Calkins' customers range from family amusement parks such as Euro Disney, Opryland, and Busch Gardens, from Japanese health spas to exclusive shops in California's Beverly Hills. Ken Calkins, his musicians, never talk back to him.
Two. Listen again. Complete the following statements.
Neighboring Pennsylvania has a museum of mushrooms. Pennsylvania also has two pretzel museums.
And another that deals only with trumpets. In Minnesota's largest city, Minneapolis, is a fascinating specialty collection. It's the Museum of Questionable Medical Devices, a big room full of gadgets, dials, bells, and blinking lights. All were once advertised as magic cures for what ails humans, from flat feet to cancer. The instruments and implements in the Museum of Questionable Medical Devices have been proven to be complete frauds. Bob McKay runs the museum. He's a retired salesman who sold steel products throughout the Midwest, but he's also a lifetime skeptic who began to collect these bizarre machines so that he could expose the trickery of quacks, fake healers, and con men and women. He got some help from the American Medical Association and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, which have loaned him phony curative machines like the electrometabograph. It's covered with dials and meters.
Cured such things as nymphomania, sensitive to noise, numbness in the body, and so forth, by pushing different buttons. And this is a very elaborate device. It weighs several hundred pounds.
The big boom in these phony machines occurred in the 1920s and 30s when radio waves and mysterious radioactivity and neon were first introduced to the public. In some cases, the quack would offer to treat patients thousands of kilometers away using radio waves. Another machine called a spectrochrome employed a 1,000-watt lighthouse bulb, a really powerful light, inside a box. A patient sat in front of it in the dark, facing north, stark naked, staring at the light, which was covered by colored filters. Red was said to be good for heart problems, blue for impotence, and so forth. The healer sold more than 10,000 of these. Bob McCoy says the American Medical Association considered a man named Dr. Abrams in San Francisco to be the king of quacks. He got people all around the country to send in drops of their blood, along with quite a few dollars.
He put the drops of blood in the machine, had his chauffeur stand on the plate that was connected to the machine, and by thumping on his chauffeur's stomach, he could tell what was wrong with the person who sent the drops of blood in. After he fiddled around with these numbers and so forth, he diagnosed everybody who sent him the blood sample in as having cancer and syphilis. But he had a cure for only $100.
One respectable company that made refrigerators, automobiles, and television sets also built the Exervac machine to cure baldness. It's a cabinet attached to a metal skull cap by a rubber hose. Inside the cabinet are an air compressor and a vacuum pump.
Now, when I turn this on, the patient puts this thing over their head, and then the vacuum will begin sucking out those clogged pores in your head. And the people who made this believe that bald people really would have a full head of hair if you just clean out their pores.
I can see it hasn't done you a lot of good.
Oh, well, I was completely bald until I became.
Bob McKay points out that the current information age of computers and hundreds of television channels has only multiplied fraudulent schemes that target desperately sick people. Some of the modern cures offered by slick salespeople, he says, are just as empty and worthless as the old curiosities that he's collected in his museum.
B. Listen again. Focus your attention on the Museum of Questionable Devices. Pay special attention to the devices listed in the left-hand column of the following chart. Write in the right-hand column the relevant information in note form. Part 4. Listen and relax. You are going to hear a report about how modern museums in America attract their patrons. Listen and enjoy.
Museums in the United States are shaking off their image of the past as quiet places to contemplate works by the masters. It is still possible to find a quiet gallery in a museum if that's what you want, but younger people who are looking for something more lively are finding museums have more to offer than ever before. On a recent Thursday evening this summer, the courtyard outside the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts in Richmond was rocking to the music of the Red Elvises. The crowd, which numbered 1,800, was more interested in partying than looking at art.
I want you to know this man really wanted to be here. He stood out on the street talking to people until he got a ticket.
Do you go to the museum or do you just come for the music?
Go to the museum about once a year.
During the winter, but not usually during these concerts. I'm guessing this is the place to be on Thursday nights in summer in Richmond, am I right?
Absolutely. It is a place to be on Thursday nights in Richmond.
Why is this a good place to be on Thursday nights?
Good music, nice setting, fun people. A young crowd, a upwardly mobile crowd, professionals.
In other words, just the type of people the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts would like to see become members, according to Suzanne Hall, who organizes the after-hours programs.
We did a membership survey, more than 15 years ago, and it came back that the median age for a museum member was over 55, and we thought, we need to think about the young people. And so what we did was develop a program that was youthful and exuberant, and that is called our Jump-In Series, and it's music from Celtic rock to music from Barbados and Cuba to Cajun music, any variety of music, but different music that hasn't been heard before in Richmond. It does attract a younger audience. The median age is about 32.
And has that increased membership in general?
Yes, it has. The Friends of Art are a young professional support group for the museum, and we have about 700 members in that group, which grew directly out of the Jump-In series.
Few art museums are hosting rock concerts, but several from San Francisco to New York are attracting young patrons with social events like cocktail parties and black tie galas geared specifically to them. In Washington, a number of museums, including the Corcoran Gallery of Art, have formed special groups to cater to young professionals. The Corcoran's 1869 Society, named for the year the museum was founded, has more than 800 members, aged 25 to 45. 81% of them are single. Christine Mingus, the museum's member programs coordinator, says social events like happy hours and dances provide those members with an opportunity to meet new people.
In D.C. and in larger urban areas, most folks don't have a great opportunity to network and get together outside of the bar scene or, you know, the tried and true, you know, ways of meeting people. This is a unique opportunity for folks to get together in a very sophisticated setting. Chances are you're going to meet someone with similar interests. Most of them are very well-traveled, very well read.
Almost all of the 1869 Society members are college graduates, and half hold graduate degrees. And of course, all of them are interested in the arts. After all, the primary goal of all museum groups like the 1869 Society is to develop patrons who will support the arts throughout their lives. By mixing lectures and gallery tours with social events, Christine Mingus says they educate the newest generation of arts patrons.